13. This is Spingola Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola. I'm coming to you from the sunny suburbs of Chicago. Thanks for joining me today on RBN for people who can handle the truth. Their website is republicbroadcasting.org. To see the guest lineup and relevant links for this program, please visit spingola.com. Click on the radio schedule button, then the appropriate month. Follow some of the interesting links usually associated with or at least compatible with the ideas for the guest of that day. One of today's links is to the Denise Amber Lee Foundation. Our guest today will be talking about Denise and what happened to her. During the program, email your questions or comments to spingola1@yahoo.com. I do not access my other email address, so I will not get your email if you don't email it to spingola1@yahoo.com. Join others in the chat room by clicking on the chat room button on my website, spingola.com, or by going to spingola.chatango.com. I am not associated with any other chat room. We will take calls in the second hour after we open the phone lines at 800-313-9443. My guest today is Thomas Goodrich. He is the author of numerous books. His website is wildwestblogspot.com. And today he's going to be talking about a couple of books, Toledo Blade, The True Story of the Abduction, Rape, and Murder of a Cop's Daughter, which came out last year in 2012, and Hellstorm, The Death of Nazi Germany, 1944 to 1947, which came out in 2010. Tom, are you with me?
Yes, Deanna, I'm right here.
Hi, how are you?
Very good. How about yourself?
Good. Very well. Thank you.
Is the weather picking up there?
Yeah, it's kind of sunny out, and it's April 1st. We should have some sun.
I miss it. I miss the daffodils popping up. Not the dandelions, the daffodils and the green grass around the Easter time. I honestly miss it. Florida, there's one season down here, and it's summer, basically, and I kind of miss the four seasons of the Midwest. I'm from Kansas and Missouri originally, so that's where I come from.
Right. Well, but you have palm trees and other things, but I know what you mean. I do love the seasons. I like the leaves in the fall that turn orange and red, and just I do like the seasons. I'm not crazy about winter and snow and ice, though. Now, you mentioned dandelions. You know that if you go out and cut some dandelions, and this is from Dr. Daniel's book, you can cut the dandelion stem and put it, if you have age spots or freckles or something, you can spread that dandelion juice on those spots, and it'll make them disappear.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Hey, so, I'm starting to get some of those things on my head. Maybe I can, I shaved my head bald for the last 30 years, so maybe I can sprinkle some of that junk on there and get rid of these old man spots I'm starting to get.
It's probably from sitting out in the sun.
Hey, have you ever tried to get rid of a dandelion, though, say, in your driveway that grows between the cracks of the cement? I've actually had a digger once, and I swear those things go all the way to China. I mean, they 3 feet and counting, and I still never reached the end of a dandelion root.
Yes, they are very, they're tenacious.
And they'll be right back even if you think you got the root. So,
Well, there's a good thing to use those things for, those dandelions.
I'm going to try that.
All righty. Well, I'll have to send you some.
Okay.
All righty. We are going to a quick 3-minute break. We'll be right back with our guest today, Thomas Goodrich.
Are you facing foreclosure? Worried about late payments? Fight back and stay in your home. Zero Debt Guaranteed can help. We'll send you a free ebook just for calling 800-477-9256. Or go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Get the details on how to remove your risk to your debt. And so important to many homeowners today, how to stop foreclosure. For
forget loan modification.
The Zero Debt in 90 Days system can show you how to get the bank to pay your property taxes and insurance while stopping your foreclosure.
Without paying one dime.
You can take control. Stop foreclosure. Protect your cash, assets, wages, property, and sleep peacefully at night.
We've been helping people for over 18 years.
Call Zero Debt Guaranteed, 800-477-9256. Ask for free information, no obligation. That's 800-477-9256. Or visit ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com now.
With financial uncertainty circling the globe due to job losses, decline in the housing market, a climate of corruption, bailouts, currency rigging, and unfair competition, many are once more turning to precious metals as the only hedge against the uncertainty of the future. With the U.S. House conducting hearings on proposals to confiscate workers' personal retirement accounts, including 401ks and IRAs, this is the time to secure your assets. Call Republic Trading Group today, 800-691-7898, before this happens, and find out how easy it is to convert your existing IRA and in some instances your 401k plan into real wealth now. Don't let the ravages of hyperinflation caused by the massive increase of fiat currency now flooding world markets affect your retirement account. Call RTG at 800-691-7898 and experience the security and peace of mind that only real gold and silver can offer. That number again is 800-691-7898. Call now.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
This is Deanna, and our guest today is Thomas Goodrich, the author of many, many books, well, at least 10, and he's going to talk to us today about Toledo Blade, the true story of the abduction, rape, and murder of a cop's daughter. And that came out in 2012, and Thomas, you sent me a copy of it. And I read it in a couple of days. I really just couldn't put it down. It was just a very compelling read. And the way that you devised the book, structured the book, once you got into it, you just kept reading till you came to the end.
Well, thanks so much for saying that, Deanna. Of course, that's what every writer wants to hear. And I must be honest, and I'll tell you right straight, everybody who has read it has said similar things, including the victims' families. People I've known, people I don't know, have said the same thing. Basically, you've heard that cliche about it's the can't-put-down type of book, a must-read all the way through. That's what I've heard consistently. And some of that, I'll take credit for some of that, and some of that, the rest of it's just because the case is so compelling. Let me read the blurb from the back of it. Maybe that'll give folks an idea of who we're talking about, if that's okay with you.
Oh, sure, absolutely. Go ahead.
Okay, Denise Amber Lee was an anomaly. Married at 18, a mother at 19, a settled-in housewife at 20. At a time and in a place where most Florida females her age were preoccupied with tattoos, drinking, and spring breaks, Denise had invested in her husband, her children, her home. The pride of her father, a detective with the local sheriff's department, Denise was the girl all dads dream of, pretty, intelligent, warm, affectionate. Then one afternoon in 2008, a 36-year-old stranger walked into Denise's happy home, and everything ended. There was no hint, no warning, no clue. In a state already staggered by a string of sensational crimes, what followed would not only shock and stun Florida, but the entire nation as well. It was, very simply, a random act of evil. Now, that sets the stage for what happened, and that in itself, I think, explains why the story is so compelling and so horrific. Because if it could happen to a young woman minding her home business, a cop's daughter, for God's sakes, she's not into drugs, drinking, anything like that. If it can happen to her, it can happen to any of us. It's unpredictable. This is the veritable bolt from the blue. This is not somebody whacked out on the street for dealing drugs or using drugs or in some sort of risk behavior. Denise, by her nature, did everything right. And that's what's so horrific about this story. And not just with me and you and the readers, it's with other people, too. MSNBC did a deal on Dateline about it. I think it was an hour-long program. And I think the message there was, we are screwed. If we cannot protect these people, who can we protect? An attorney down here, he said, it just scares the hell out of people. We are drawn towards stories like this that scare us because it could happen to anybody. And then a local newspaper, as a blurb, it said, there are crimes so heinous with guilt so certain that they melt opposition to the death penalty. And that's true. You know, Florida, it must be the epicenter for horrific crimes, because I know you've got them up in Chicago and out in California and New York, of course, and Boston, places like that. But it seems that we've got them even more than that. We've got more than our share. Right here where I live, you can drive a half an hour in any direction. I can name some cases that you probably... Do you remember little Carly Brucia, the little 11-year-old gal that was taken right in front of the car wash one day by this devil? It was projected to the world. It showed her being abducted with the cameras outside the car wash in Sarasota. 11-year-old girl raped, murdered by this beast. There are many other crimes in this area very similar to that. And Florida, you know, interestingly enough, we've got a prison right in the middle of the state housing roughly 600 men that they will not turn loose. These are the incorrigible sex criminals. These people cannot or will not or won't be improved, be treated. And so there's no recidivism for these people. They just don't get out. That's how desperate, if you can imagine, the average rapist is walking loose today, as we know, to commit again and then again. The courts seem tilted toward them, quite honestly. But a prison here in Florida where 600 of the worst, absolute worst sex offenders are housed. And I've got to ask, why are we housing them? Why are we feeding these people? Are they doing anything worthwhile with their lives? Why not just get rid of them? Why are we keeping these beasts alive, these people who commit these type of crimes? Anyway, let me say something else. You know, most men, and we're talking about rape, of course, most men see women and they see a human being. Some men, unfortunately, see a woman and they see a victim. And like I said, the American legal system seems tilted toward the side of the offenders. I mean, there's many offenders running loose right now to reoffend. My advice to every woman out there, after studying this problem, is get a gun and get it quick. Get something small. Get a 22, 25, 32, or 30, 38 caliber weapon, something that fits snugly in your hand, and take it with you everywhere you go. You're the only protection you're going to have. Learning martial arts, that's not going to happen. That's not going to make it. You can learn it. It may feel good. It may help you keep the fat off the fanny. It's a feel-good type of thing, but the average woman cannot compete with the average man in a test of strength. That's a fact. You do that, and you're going to get killed. Get a gun, shoot to kill, and there's no problems there at all. Somebody who's coming after you to rape you, let them have it.
Right.
Because the courts aren't taking care of you. I'm going to tell you that right now.
Right. And it hardly helps at that time to call 911.
That's right. After you've shot the son of a gun, then call 911 and make up a story if you have to stay out of jail. But anyway, my wife carries one, has for many, many years. She's a former cop, and she knows what's out there. And I also have one. But women there is an open season on women, American women specifically. There's an undeclared war against them, and the courts don't seem to be doing a damn thing about it. And I'll be honest with you, it seems like every time we put one rapist out of commission, two more pop up. And that's got a lot to do with pornography, but it also has a lot to do with the court system that just keeps them. I cannot tell you how many people have committed down here in this area where I live, south of Sarasota, and I'm reading about them every day coming back out and recommitting.
Amazing. And I had no idea, really, that Florida was such a haven for all of the crimes that that you talk about in the beginning of the book. I always thought, oh, what a nice place to go. People can go down there and just relax. But you talk about two different kinds of culture living there, pretty adjacent to each other, where you wouldn't really want to walk down the street at night in some of those neighborhoods.
Absolutely. I'm here to shout. If you're staying on the coast, stay on the coast. Don't come inland a mile or two and start looking around. The last two people that did it were two British tourists in Sarasota a year ago, and they were found dead in the black part of town. But no, Florida is the coast. Stay there because go inland. That's where the pit bulls, that's where the cinder block homes begin, that's where the crime starts. And Florida, we have, I think it's the second largest prison system, maybe the largest in America, even bigger than California. We don't have quite as many convicts, prisoners in there, but we've got, I think, 140 units scattered around the state. I guess it's as simple as this. We get the criminals from the north because it's better to be a criminal and warm than it is to be a criminal and cold. I guess that's the approach they take because we've got them everywhere. And if people think I'm exaggerating, just start, go online, start looking at some of the Florida online newspapers and check out what's going on. Today I can't tell you. I mean, there's like five different rape incidents locally in this area. Child abuse, pedophilia, it is incredibly, the rate is incredibly high down here. You know, they had to catch a predator at Fort Myers just south of us about 15 minutes, 2 years ago. You'd think that, you know, to catch a predator, it's very national. It caught a lot of these characters coming in to have sex with, 12 and 13-year-old kids. You'd think that would be enough. People would see that and say, hey, I'm not going to that area to find a child to have sex with. It didn't stop them at all. I'm telling you, every month we have a sex sting down here, very similar to that. The last one, seems like they get about 30 with every haul. That's when they decide to close the book on the thing, go after the 30, and they get the 30. And, of course, they go through the prison merry-go-round, and they'll be back out in 6 months or so to reconnect.
Oh, my goodness. And yet the criminal in your book, Toledo Blade,
yes,
he had never committed a crime of this nature before.
And you
talk about his story, his accident as a child,
yes.
And I mean, he wasn't a bright person, but he was a compulsive liar, and he got away with it.
You know, I'm going to read, if it's okay, in the half hour segment when we get off the half hour break, I'm going to read a little bit about him and the victim herself. And you're absolutely right. How do you protect yourself against somebody who has no rap sheet, who has no prior offenses, who's basically swam with the current all of his life, who's got along with everyone? He's a plumber, and a very good plumber, by the way. Into many homes he went to work. And by all accounts, he was a likable guy. Everybody loves Mikey. That's what people would say about him. He wasn't the brightest bulb in the box, no, but he was not a leering psychopath, a drooling sex fiend in the dark shadows. He did things that other guys did, neither worse or better. But here he committed this ferocious crime. And, you know, nobody was more surprised than his family.
Right. All righty. Tom, we do have to go to a quick break. We'll be right back in 3 minutes.
The There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology, all while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com. Or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821. Or visit PureEffectFilters.com.
Golden Stag Safaris invites you to hunt in one of Argentina's most beautiful scenarios. Enjoy the quietness of the Pampas and the 5-star accommodation lodge. Excellent food and wine included in your stay. All the while hunting big game in the Argentine Valley, an area known for having a wide range of game, excellent trophies, the biggest stags in South America, as well as many other species, all gold medal quality. One-on-one guided hunts, rental guns available with the highest quality scopes in every caliber, Land Rovers for transport, pickup at Buenos Aires Airport, and a private aircraft for charter is all available. Go to www.goldenstagsafaris.com to see photos and for more information. Again, www.goldenstagsafaris.com.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us at 1-877-605-9200.
And our guest today is Thomas Goodrich, and he's going to tell us about the perpetrator that is in his book, Toledo Blade, The True Story of the Abduction, Rape, and Murder of a Cop's Daughter. Came out last year. It is really a good read. I really recommend that you read it. It just woke me up to the cold, hard facts that we are not living in a very safe society, and it doesn't matter where you think you live. This could happen to anybody.
Yep, that's true. Even though I'm on a bit of a diatribe about Florida crime, this stuff happens everywhere, unfortunately. I think it happens more in America than anywhere else. I'm not abreast of everything going on in other countries, but it happens virtually all over this country. Here in Florida, though, it just seems more exaggerated. Anyway, Michael King, let me say a few things about the crime itself. As we mentioned, this was a bolt out of the blue. How he knew her, where he met her, where he saw her, we don't have a clue. He's not talking. He's sitting on death row right now, thank God. And the victim, of course, is dead. Now, let me just go right to the day this occurred. Denise was at home, as she typically was, with her two little kids, one about 2 years old and the other 6 months. She was still nursing the smallest one. But when she was taken, she was cutting the hair of her oldest child, the two-year-old, and I'm sure it was a trial, as we all know, if we've been that way, the squirmy little boy in the high chair having his hair clipped. The reason we know that is because we can see the clippings on the floor where the high chair was situated. But anyway, sometime around 2:30 that January day, somebody came to her door. That would have been nice, Michael King. He came in his red, or his, excuse me, his green Camaro with the black bra on the hood, they call them. The reason we know that is because the next door neighbor who was visiting from New York saw him back into the driveway. What happened then, we don't know, because Denise was taken. Probably she answered the door, and he might have been there earlier, a week, a day, a month. I'm not sure, because there was a for sale sign out in the yard. This was a rented home at the time, but it was also for sale. He may have been looking for a home because he was being his home was being foreclosed upon. He had lost his job. Many things were coming down on the perpetrator, Michael King. But
now, he lived in the same vicinity, didn't he?
Yes, about 3 miles apart. So this was in Northport, Florida. But by hook or crook, somehow he got her out of that home and got her in his car. Now, Denise was shrewd enough, a cop's daughter, don't forget, that she actually made sure her kids were safe. She put them in the crib and then locked the door and closed the windows until her husband, who would be coming home within about a half an hour, would get there. She knew she was in big trouble, but like any mother bird who would lead her chicks away from a hungry cat, she took care of her her babies first. He got her into the car, that is, with the perpetrator, got her over to his home 3 miles away, and then for the next couple of hours spent the day pleasurably raping her, probably, well, no doubt, vaginally, anally, and probably orally. And then he put her back in the car and drove around for about 3 or 4 hours with her tied up. And as you know, eventually she's heard on a busy highway here screaming for help. And nobody's responding except the one lady who did call 911. And unfortunately, and I should also say that she somehow in this whole process managed to get the rapist's cell phone away from him. I don't know how. It must have fallen out of his pocket. But she got a hold of that and actually pegged in 911, begging, pleading for help. She didn't have a clue where she was at, of course. Her eyes were bound with tape, but
he didn't know that she was talking on the to the 911 operator.
No,
she was just talking to him and asking him to let her
right.
Know.
And she did it very discreetly and subtly. But if you can imagine, I've heard the taped interviews, and as you know, in the back of the book there is the transcript of the 911 calls, and it just rips your heart right out of your chest. The desperation in her voice. And, of course, none of this worked. He eventually got her over to a place. He kept telling her he was going to turn her loose. You can hear that in the conversation even. But he didn't. He stripped her down naked, even as she was begging to be released. And he said, no problem, no effing problem, as a matter of fact. No effing problem. And then put a bullet through her head, actually through her eye and out at the back of her head.
Wow.
And he was caught within half an hour.
Now, this Jane Kowalski was going south on Highway 41, and she saw the car. And in addition to Denise's very subtle 911 call, Jane Kowalski called 911 because she was going south, and she pulled up to a stoplight, and a man pulled up next to her, and she could see somebody screaming in the car. And she thought, this isn't right. And so she made a 911 call. And we are going to break momentarily, but when we come back, maybe you could talk about that 911 call and what occurred or did not occur because of that call. And that's so tragic. That is a very tragic situation. We should all do these kinds of things as far as if we see somebody in trouble, don't think that somebody else is going to do something. We need to jump in and do something ourselves. All right, we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy three Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
Now more than ever, killing many viruses and bacteria in our homes and at work is important. With the flu epidemic running rampant, you need to protect yourself and your family the best you can with purified air. Our air purifiers not only kill many viruses and bacteria in the air, but on surfaces too. Our air purifiers will also kill molds, fungi, mildew, oxidizes chemical fumes and toxic gases, removes dust, pollen, pet odors, and smoke. We have portable units, HVAC and industrial size units. In our homes today, protect your family the best you can by calling 1-877-605-9200 or go to our online store at republicbroadcasting.org. Call today to receive your 10% off and free shipping on any home unit. 1-877-605-9200.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Thomas Goodrich. He is the author of many books. The one that we are talking about right now is called Toledo Blade, The True Story of the Abduction, Rape, and Murder of a Cop's Daughter. It came out last year. There's a link on the schedule page today where you can purchase it from Tom, or you can get it from Amazon, but just get it. You won't be disappointed. Even though it tells the story of a horrific event, you will not be disappointed.
If it does nothing else, maybe it will send up a red flag to especially women who read it that you cannot count on anything anymore. Either the cops being there, the judges taking care of you. If it doesn't, maybe it could save some woman's life or save her from being raped. When I started this talk with the interview, maybe I went overboard a bit. I don't think so. I think every woman should be armed. There's nothing much out there protecting them except themselves right now. Cops, bless their hearts, do the best they can, but they're not everywhere. And if a woman can become so alarmed and so fearful after reading this book that they put a pistol in their purse or in their back pocket, a fanny pack, whatever, and have the guts to shoot to kill. When their instinct tells them that this is a bad situation, this guy is going to do something bad with me, and let him have it. I mean, not shooting for the belly, shoot for the head, or right. Just keep shooting. But I'm really personally sick of this undeclared war against women. It's been going on quite long enough now. Women cannot walk at night. They can't go in certain parts of the town.
Even during the day, I mean, kids going to school. The kids going to school in Chicago are not safe.
Yeah, rape has become a curse, and it's a damn curse.
Absolutely.
And it's getting worse, and I think we just simply lack the punishments to stop this plague.
Right.
I personally, now this is my own opinion, I think for the first aggravated conviction of rape, that is one that's extremely violent, castration. Pure and simple castration. We simply take away the rapist's main weapon. He's using his penis like a weapon. Let us disarm this fellow. Let's take it away. And I'm talking about the first aggravated rape. I think that is a pretty good indicator of what he's going to do the rest of his life. And so we castrate him. For the second offense, if he does something else, I mean, he's not going to be doing it with his tools down there, but if he does it with a stick or with his fingers or whatever, then we just take him right out of the picture altogether. It's rape is more than physical. It's emotional. It's a spiritual murder of the woman. And I'm just simply advocating murder for murder. Of course, with this approach, we're going to very quickly be known as the castration nation, but I don't really care.
Right. I think if they only did that to a few perpetrators, it would warn the rest of them. I really think that is a punishment that would have consequences and would prevent people from considering that.
And you know something else, Deanna? Whatever we're doing right now, it's not working, quite honestly. They can talk about all they want.
Oh,
they
absolutely.
Have these programs. We mock and we rip apart Islamic law for being extreme and the punishments are cruel, unusual, unjust, blah, blah, blah. Well, what about the women that are raped? By the way, statistics say that one in four women you can plan on being raped at some point in your life. And every 7 seconds, they say a woman is raped in America. I think I believe those are wrong. I believe it's probably about every second a woman's being raped in one form or another. And, you know, we laugh at Islamic law for being extreme. I'm sure they must laugh at us for having no punishment. What kind of a so-called civilization is this that has no punishment to protect its women? If I was a woman, I would be so demoralized that, I would probably keep a rape to myself, as most women do. I'd be so ashamed And then let's face it, to have it drug out in the courts for the next 12 months, I have to relive this thing. I'm not sure what the answer is legally. I've already suggested castration and then death to get a handle on this plague that's sweeping in America. If I was nailed to the barn door and say, do you really mean this? I think, yes, I do, in certain cases. Somebody who aggravated rape, who commits a violent act of rape, yes. But anyway, Michael King, like I said, this guy committed a rape. He used his private part like a weapon, but he had never done it before, to our knowledge. Now, as you note in the book, as you might remember, he did technically rape a woman he had gotten into his home. That young, foolish, drunken woman, that is a different story because, let's put it this way, that was very risky behavior she was engaged in, getting drunk with almost a total stranger, a jerk like that. I know this sounds very, right now I'm just particularly, after reading today's paper, particularly upset about this high incidence of rape that. And then, of course, writing that book on the book Hellstorm, on the massive rape of German womanhood. This is the spiritual massacre of the German womanhood by the millions in countless times. It just seems like for some reason now I'm immersed in rape, and rape, the crime that's being committed all around.
Well, I think it's so underreported. And people often blame the woman herself, and since they don't really incarcerate the perpetrators for a long time, and they don't really punish them, I think people think, well, it's not a big deal. But it is a really big deal, and it has nothing whatsoever to do with sex. It is a control mechanism. It is a power. People people want to show their power. And it's often used in war, as you mentioned, in the book Hellstorm.
Yeah, you know, a lot of naive folks may think rape's just a fairly physical sort of thing where the penis is used to tear into the vagina. Maybe it gets a little rough, whatever, but that's, believe me, that's the more benign aspect of rape. A lot of rape's got nothing to do with that. It's got to do with punishment, bites, bruising, physically hurting somebody.
Right.
Things being stuck up, women, if you know what I'm talking about. It's forcing a... I mean, I hate to get too graphic. I mean, but we know where we're going with this. It's got a lot more to do with other very sickening statistic things.
Right.
It's not 3 seconds and over and that's the rape and it's done.
Right.
Sometimes it is, but generally it isn't. And I don't know if I'm going to have time to even read this piece a little bit about Michael King, the perpetrator. Hopefully I made him come alive. You know, I did a lot of interviews for this book, and as you probably noticed, both among the victims' families and the people who knew her, Denise Amber Lee, but also the perpetrator, the rapist, the murderer, Michael King. I did quite a few hours worth of interviews with his former girlfriend.
Right.
Living girlfriend.
Right, and, Jennifer.
Yes, Jennifer, Jennifer Robb. And Mike was perfect with her. I mean, well, perfect. You know, as men-women relationships go, perfect. He was very gallant at times. He took care of her kids. He kept them fed, kept them clothed. He brought them upright. He taught them to eat good foods and behave and say thank you. And there was no problem there. Even though they did break up, it was more her problem than Mike.
Right, she just decided that she didn't want to have anything. She just kicked him out, and he made numerous phone calls, and she just never accepted the phone calls. And after this occurred, she felt so bad that she had rejected him so completely that she tried to commit suicide.
Yes, yes. So Mike, he had redeeming qualities. It's not like he was a total douche all of his life, a rat. He worked, he got up, he worked hard, he did what he was told. I'm sure he did a lot of other good things. But as you mentioned, he wasn't the brightest bulb in the box. He was the, well, let me just read a little bit here.
First grade
is usually a time when children begin exploring their social world, forming friendships with other kids, and learning the do's and don'ts of peerdom. Not so Mikey. He struggled with everything. The English alphabet might as well have been the Chinese alphabet, where Mikey was concerned. And he never did get it straight. Math, 1 + 1 somehow always equaled 1. Even with his fingers, Mikey couldn't come up with 2. Repeating the first grade was a foregone conclusion, but it didn't help. Nor did special ed. There simply was no progress. While his classmates zipped along, by the time he was 8, Mikey still didn't know all the letters in the alphabet, nor how many inches were in a foot. Mikey was classified as learning disabled with an IQ just north of retarded. Low as the bar had been set in most American high schools to accommodate even the dullest laggard, it still wasn't low enough for Mike. No way could he climb over that low bar and graduate. And so he entered the workforce. By all accounts, he was a good, like I said, a good plumber, and not a great plumber, because you do have to understand how to spell things like water, tile, pipe, how to make figures. He would call his little son and girlfriends how to spell the simplest of words. I'm quoting from the book, poor with the spoken word, poorer still with the written word. Mike could barely string together a 5-word sentence that made any sense. Over the years, to compensate for his inability to converse, Mike had assumed a soft, very soft voice, almost a whisper. Mostly, however, Mike said little, adhering to the ancient adage, better to keep one jap shut and thought an idiot than open it and remove all doubt. Another tool Mike adopted to gain an edge in life was lying. Mike was slow. He was not a moron or an idiot, just very slow. Lying leveled the playing field somewhat and made Mike seem less slow. Lying made him appear bigger than he was, more important, more interesting, smarter, sexier. He told people he was a male stripper. At 5'8" and 200 pounds, not many swallowed that one. He told anyone who would listen that he was a close friend of the performer, Kid Rock. Hell, Mike had not even seen the rapper in the flesh, much less been his pal. Mike bragged about cruising through the giant redwood forest with his top down, even though he had never been to California and never owned a convertible. Mike's lies covered the gamut, and he could tailor to suit, depending on the subject at hand. And when listeners told him to his face that he was lying, Mike even lied about lying, insisting that he was telling the truth. One might imagine that if one told 1,000 lies a day, one might become pretty good at it. One might imagine that with so much practice, one might become a pretty convincing liar. One might imagine such a thing about Michael King, but one would imagine wrong. Mike was a terrible liar. Not even close. Maybe he wasn't smart enough to actually plan, plot, and present a successful lie. And so Mike made him up as he went along. Now, since talking was already tough enough for Mike, talking and thinking at the same time made the telling of a tall tale almost impossible, especially when someone was staring in astonishment at his struggling mug. And so, wide and bulging, Mike's eyes would dart to the floor, to the wall, to the window, here, there, everywhere, as he unrolled his lies, everywhere but into the eyes of the person he was spinning his yarns to. If one knew Mike, the whole performance was better than a free monkey show. His friends and family learned to accept this routine as just a part of the package. As a child, it was not only entertaining, but it was also innocent, even lovable. Everybody loved Mikey, said a brother. Well, that's a little bit about Michael King. And
why don't you tell us about his accident when he was, what, 8 years old or
yeah,
six?
Yeah, I've got just a second here.
Let
me read this. A nasty accident in childhood didn't help his head skills any. One wintry day in Michigan, the kids were playing or were out being kids with a snowmobile, a long rope, and a plastic saucer sled. The older brother was towing Mikey behind. He was going the only speed a kid that age knows. When he yelled for Mikey to let go of the rope, Mike didn't. Head first, the child slammed straight into the post. And at that clip, he had been going. The others thought sure Mike was dead. They thought he was dead. He was laying in the snow, and then his eyes popped open, and he was alive, and the kids, if you can imagine. But Mike never really ever recovered from that. From that day forward, he was afraid of doctors. I mean, he was terrified of doctors, would do anything to avoid doctors because of the pain associated with that accident. But during his trial, that was one of the arguments made to try to save his life, was that this grievous head wound, and it truly was, had impacted him so and made it so difficult for him to understand right from wrong that, well, that's what they were hanging their hat on. They were just hoping that that would spring Mike out. You know, Deanna, the fact is we have become so PO'd at such monstrous crimes as this one, that we really don't care anymore if a person's insane or whatever their head wounds or their problems as children. We've had enough of this murder. We are going to kill the killers, whether they're sane or insane. We're going to get them out of our lives. And I have no problem with that. We have too many of these people that are relying upon that old crutch of insanity or problems in childhood or bedwetting or whatever. I'm sorry about all that. I wish it hadn't have happened. In a perfect world, it wouldn't. But it did. And that's no excuse to go out and murder somebody just for kicks.
I got
problems in my life, too. I was raped as a child for about 3 years in a row. I didn't become a rapist. I didn't go out and commit crimes against children. I didn't try to take it out on society. I dealt with it. And maybe I've got a few more tools than the average bear to deal with it, that is mentally. But still, if I'm average and if you're average, we're tired of this stuff.
Right.
Insanity doesn't cut it anymore. So what if you're insane? We're still going to put your ass to death. How about
right.
that?
Well, I think that the bad things happen to a lot of children. Bad things happen, you know, but that does not mean that we become perpetrators when we grow up. But also, I got the sense as I was reading this book that Mike had a selective value system. Inasmuch as he could lie to try and to impress somebody, he understood that there was a sense of right and wrong. Despite the fact that he wasn't real bright, I think that he had a value system. His parents were absolutely astounded that he did this. I think his parents brought him up with values, and I think that he understood that there were some things that you simply did not do, or else he would have done them before.
I agree. And I've done many interviews with the father of the victim, Sergeant Rick Goff with the Charlotte County Sheriff's Office down here, and as well as a professional newsman who won the Edward R. Murrow Award for uncovering 9/11 connections here. Both of these guys thought that Mike had a rolling start, that he murdered somewhere in the past, that you just don't go from 0 to 60,
right.
Like he did.
You know, right.
I disagreed with the guy.
Yeah.
Mike had no priors. This was out of the blue.
All righty, we are going to a quick 3-minute break. We will be right back with our guest today, Thomas Goodrich.
Ground beef, eggs, butter, cheese, soup, sandwiches, strawberries, ice cream, coffee, and more. What do these foods have in common? They all come in storable, long shelf life food for you to save and use in uncertain times. Rather, if it is a meal or a snack for a family or just yourself, CampingSurvival.com offers a huge variety of storable food for you to be prepared anytime. Go to CampingSurvival.com to order all your food. Eat today, save it for tomorrow, or store it for years to come. CampingSurvival.com sells healthy, nutritious, storable food in number 10 cans and pouches. Order online today at CampingSurvival.com. Use code FREEDOM and receive 5% off. CampingSurvival.com. Remember, save 5% off with code FREEDOM at CampingSurvival.com on all your prepared food needs.
If you would like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself from anything out of balance concerning cardiovascular or diabetic circulation problems, then this might be the most important ad you'll ever hear. It is possible to acquire a 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and circulation, which works. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. For a long and healthy life, order today by calling 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Order online at heartandbody.com. That's heartandbody.com.
This is an important message from hempusa.org. For our listeners who are advancing in age, baby boomers, and to all who want to be healthy, we urge you to try our microplant powder and see the difference it makes in your life. Please visit hempusa.org and read about microplant powder. It's easy to take, one heaping tablespoon in any liquid 3 times a day. Call 908-691-2608 or visit hempusa.org. Please inform your family, friends, and relatives about this incredible product. It can change your life if you give it a chance. So try microplant powder today. Call 908-691-2608. In this toxic world, microplant powder can help now in cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, viruses, fungus, and bacteria. Please download our catalog at hempusa.org today.
Deanna, our guest today is Thomas Goodrich, the author of many books. We are talking right now about Toledo Blade, the true story of the abduction, rape, and murder of a cop's daughter. Came out last year. Could you talk about the Kowalski telephone call and why Jane Kowalski, why she called, what happened, and why things happened the way that they did?
Yes, and
why we cannot depend on the system.
Yeah. There's a lesson here also. Jane was on her way south to Fort Myers to visit her grandma. Jane is a full-grown woman. She's 45-ish. But she was driving down rainy Highway 41 through Northport. It runs along the coast from Tampa all the way down to Fort Myers. And that evening, as she pulled quietly into a intersection, another car pulled up beside her, that being the green Camaro with the black bra on the front. And suddenly she heard this screaming. And by the way, Jane's on the phone talking to her sister, who also lives in Fort Myer near the grandmother. And they're chatting on the phone. And suddenly the sister on the other end of the phone says, "Jane, what's that screaming? Is somebody in your car?" And Jane said, "No, there's a car beside me, and some kid is, you know, raising pure H-E-L-L over there." And Jane sat and listened, and unlike a lot of folks, Jane stared at the other car, stared into it, and suddenly she saw this, what she mistook for a child's hand, come up beating on the window, beating, screaming. Jane said she had never heard a scream like that in her life. Obviously, this was the tantrum from hell. That's what she thought. But anyway, she also stared in the dark, in the dusk, at the person in the driver's seat, and he had the dull look on his face that Jane never forgot, a really dull, dim look. Jane never forgot the face, but Jane decided right then to peg in 911 and get to the bottom of this. And so for the next 3 or 4 or 5 miles, these cars do a little dance on the highway with Michael King in his Camaro never getting in front of Jane because he could see that she was nervous about what was going on next to him and fearful that she would get his tag number. So he drops behind her. And Jane, this is a very, very fast road. It's about 55 miles an hour. But Jane is doing 35 block backing up traffic because she's trying to get that car to go around her. Anyway, Jane made contact with the 911 outfit, to make a long story short. And when Michael King finally ditched her and drove up Toledo Blade, hence the name of the book, Toledo Blade Boulevard. Jane waited for the cops to show because she had done what any good citizen would do. The cops never did show. Her call fell
she
between
parked.
The cracks.
She parked in a parking lot and told them where she was.
Yes. Her call never got through because of a number of reasons. Incompetency was one of them. But it also just happened that at the time, shifts were changing. And that's how the message got garbled and lost, ultimately. So the one time that she could have, Denise could have been saved, was totally dropped. And as you know, the Denise Amber Lee Foundation was a group started by the widower, the husband, Nate Lee, to try to correct these failings in the 911 system. So many other people. As you know, in the book, I also list some other botched calls to 911 that got people killed.
Alrighty.
Ridiculous calls in many cases. But
Tom, we do have to take a 60-second top-the-hour break. We'll pick this up on the other side of the break.
Okay.
Right back.